Hello everyone, Bruce Edwin here, HollywoodSentinel.com, back here for part two with Divine Evans. Folks, in our first part here, we introduced Divine as a five-time Grammy Award-winning music producer, songwriter, just a legend in the entertainment, the music industry. Catch your first part of that, we'll put a link to it. Divine, it's so good to have you with us here today, buddy. And
Yes, sir. Thank you
very much. So we were speaking now. You were starting out, you were building up your studio, and so tell me about that, because, you know, a lot of people have goals, they have, you know, intentions, but you were, you said you had this plan B. When did you realize that, okay, I'm going to just do this, and I'm going to make it happen no matter what? When did you get that intention? Because it sounds like even though you had a plan B, you knew you were going to make this happen.
Yeah, I mean, my transition to be full-time committed to the plan A was, basically I had this girl group at the time that I was producing, and every day I would get off work, I would go to the studio, and we would be in the studio all night, and I just felt myself, you know, really getting detached from, like, the patients that I was, like, supposed to be taking care of, and I loved people, and I was very concerned about, you know, my mentality at the time, because I didn't feel like I was an asset to the patients anymore, because I was too distracted with music. I was writing songs in my head the whole time I was at work, overlooking details. So, rather than put myself in a position to harm anyone or neglect anyone's healthcare needs, I knew that it was time for me to leave, because...
Interesting.
I was too invested into, like, my creative mind.
It was
becoming a problem in my other world, so I just had to, like, part ways with that world.
Interesting. What was your job you were doing then? Were you a nurse or are you a physician?
I was being trained in patient care for patients with kidney failure and dialysis industry.
My
goal was to become a pediatric nephrologist.
Pediatric what?
A nephrologist, you know, for kids with kidney failure.
Oh, my God.
To do, you know, so.
Yeah.
I was always obsessed with science and love science and medicine and stuff like that. So
interesting.
It really isn't, like, an odd thing for me to say this, but because I love science and I love medicine, but.
Interesting.
You know. The battle between medicine and music, there just was no contest with the art of writing songs.
Right. How does that part of your brain translate the scientific functioning of your brain? How does that translate to working as a producer? Is there some commonalities or you use in some of this?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that, it's kind of like what makes your music, like, elevate beyond, like, you know, the normal person's approach is sometimes just because of, being a little bit more educated on the variety of, communication.
Right.
Whether it's, like, you know, dialogue or music, it's kind of the same. Like, so I can speak, you know, intelligently with a room full of, you know, astronomers, and then I could also speak intelligently in a room full of jazz musicians. And I think that, yeah, there's some sort of a bridge between the two. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. A lot of people say that the brains are totally separate, you know, but for me, they seem to work out pretty well.
Interesting. Well, that's really cool. So you moved all this space aside. You started building up your studio. You knew you were going to make all this materialize. When did you know that you had really made it? What was the turning point where you were like, okay, I'm here. I am being successful. I'm a success now in the recording industry. What was the turning point for you in your career?
Well, you know what? It was crazy, man. That's a good question. It's honestly, like, probably one of the best questions you could ask a person like me, because I think that I was so obsessed with the process of creation and the 24-hour-a-day, like, rat race that we're in on creative.
Yeah.
And it was probably, you know, half a decade or more, I even looked back to
Say the last part again. The last part got a little cut out, please.
Yeah, it was 5 to 10. I don't remember how long, but it was a very long time to actually look back at my career.
Long time, yeah.
I realized, like, you know, wow, like my footprints in the sand are pretty impressive. But yeah. I didn't pay attention to that because I didn't get in the music industry to win awards. I got in the music industry to create songs and to inspire people.
That's so great.
That was my only focus.
Yeah.
So, you know, every day all I did was write songs, create songs, work with musicians, work with producers, work on tours. You know, so I did a lot of those things. So basically, you know, my focus was clear. I did not care about all the other stuff. So
that's amazing.
I never really realized, like, you know, I was like 2 or 3 Grammys in before I realized that Grammy.
Before you realize what?
Before I actually won a Grammy Award. Like, you know, I really had no idea that
okay.
I, you know, did that because I wasn't paying attention.
Wow.
I was all the detail. So.
Well, I want to tell you now that you are, in case you still don't know, you are a super successful man. So, you know, and just a legend in the music industry. So congratulations. And you probably sometimes, I think you probably still don't get it because you are so yeah. humble and I know you are so hardworking, you know, and I'm just kidding. I know you do, but, you know, I want our listeners to really realize that. And that's so amazing you said that. So you were like 2 or 3 Grammys in and it hadn't really sunk in for you. So what is that like when it finally did sink in? What was the mindset like? What was going through your head? I mean,
yeah, I went through a really bad divorce
yeah.
What caused me to realize the success I had is you know, my ex, she had that took a car for me and I finally saw her at a party.
Yeah.
I was getting ready to walk up to her and we were going to have in public, I'm sure we were going to have like a huge altercation because it was like really dramatic.
Oh no.
Yeah. So one of my friends saw me and he grabbed me and he walked me up to the stage because this was a music industry event.
Yeah.
And he took me on stage and he made me look in the audience and he said to me, "Divine, I want you to look at all of these people. There were 500 people there." And he said, "Every single one of these people came to this city to do what you do every day.
Yeah.
What you did yesterday is greater than anything any of these 500 people did in their whole life."
Yeah.
And that conversation with him was really an eye-opener, man. Because I started to realize, like, how blessed I was because, like,
yeah.
You know, the job I said no to yesterday is probably something that most people will never even get the call for.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of like, you know, the way I had to look at life, man. I had to realize that, you know, I am blessed and I have been given some amazing opportunities and I have to be thankful for that. And sometimes I got to step back and kind of like just take it all in. And that was one of the things that I never did is just take it all in.
Yes.
And realize like, wow, I really did this, you know, and even to this day, like I've earned over 140 platinum and gold records.
Say that again, please. It cut out a minute.
I've earned over 3 platinum and gold records.
I'm sorry, it keeps cutting out. You earned over
140 platinum and gold records.
Over 140 platinum and gold records.
Yeah.
Huge. Huge.
And I, you know, I would love to have them, but you know, it's like I was for so long, that's how focused I was on the music. I wasn't even paying attention to receiving those awards, you know?
It's amazing.
So now I try to stay on top of it a little more just because it's like, okay, I know now it's starting to be too much to keep up with. So, you know. Yeah.
Over 140 platinum and gold records. That's incredible. That's like, I mean, that's just unfathomable almost. You know, it's absolutely amazing. Well, that is so cool. I know when I was friends with Michael Jackson's main guitarist, David Williams, he gave me a list one time of all the people he had played with, you know, Prince and Madonna and on and on. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, just one line blew me away. And it's like the same with you, you know, it's just, so congratulations on all that, man. I just can't even explain how amazing that is. So Take us back to one of the, like, you work with so many superstars. I mean, Justin Timberlake, Beyonce, you know, Lady Gaga, on and on and on. What was it like with this first, let's take Beyonce, for example. You're in the studio working with her. What is that like for you?
Well, when I worked with Destiny, you know, it was not the same feeling that and now, you know, so I worked with Destiny's Child first on a Christmas album.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Huge.
And then, you know, later on I worked on their Super Bowl performance. And then, you know, this past year I did like a little of the Coachella for her Coachella performance. But when I did the Coachella performance, like, I wasn't really required to be in the same room with it.
Right.
They tell me what they need and I do it and I send it to them. You know, it kind of is what it is. But, you know, my biggest thing of anybody that I've ever worked with, kind of like
you faded out a little bit there, Divine. Pardon me, you faded out a little. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah. So my only memory really of being starstruck around an artist would be with Lady Gaga. You know, because
okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, she just has this presence. It's like a star presence. Like as soon as she's standing in front of you, it's like the most powerful. You know, you just feel her energy and you understand why she's such a big superstar.
Now, explain that to a minute, because my friend David Williams, who's passed on, he mentioned that to me. He said that exactly what you were saying. He said, Bruce, there are certain, you know, there's stars and then there's superstars. And he said they're a superstar has got a charisma and you can feel their energy, their aura in a room. It fills up the whole room. Explain that to listeners that don't get that, please. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, basically, man, like a superstar is like the kind of person that, you know, you could walk behind them down New York City street and you'll watch like the crowd part like the ocean, you know, the Red Sea rather, you know, and it's natural. They don't have to do anything special. It's just the energy that lives in them that people naturally recognize.
Amazing.
It's the equivalent of like a pack of lions. You know, acknowledging the leader of, you know, their pack.
Yeah.
And everybody submitting to their leadership, you know, it's kind of that same kind of feeling.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, you know, like the star quality that we're talking about.
It's amazing.
So
you felt that with Lady Gaga and just felt her on that vibe.
Yeah, she's actually the only person that ever made me feel ever.
That ever made you what?
That ever made me feel like I was in a room with somebody that was that great.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Well, you know, I've always had respect for her. I didn't, you know, appreciate her music as much until I watched her documentary on Netflix. And then I really found a lot of, you know, a lot of appreciation for her and dig a lot of her music. So, I mean, that's really, really so cool. So, and how is she to work with? What was that like for you?
It was one of those things where, whenever you're working with her, you know, you feel like, you know, you feel this extreme need to, like, reach the highest level of your creative output because, you know, you're working with a person who's so creative and, you know, constantly, like, you know, just exudes creativity. So it was very inspiring.
That's great. She seems like a cool person. I mean, she seems really down to earth herself, you know, so.
Yeah, she is. I mean, I think that cool. Overall... everything that she has going for herself is absolutely something that she deserves. She's, you know, incredible at everything. So
that is awesome. That's awesome. Well, Divine, you know, so are you. You know, I want to say the same thing to you. You are an incredible person to me, and anyone that knows you, I know, knows that. And you definitely deserve all you have accomplished and more.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time. There, you know, I could talk with you forever. I love music, you know, as a fan so much, and there's so much I want to ask you, maybe at another time on the technical level I'd like to get into. But, you know, for our listeners out there, and I'm sure you know this, we have a section called How to Succeed in Hollywood. We try to give back to, you know, aspiring musicians, singers, bands, models, etc. on making it. What is your advice, would you say, to the new singers out there, or the music producers aspiring to even get, you know, halfway or a fraction of where you're at? What's your advice to them?
I would say there's like three things. I mean, the first thing is to always always remember the 6-year-old version of yourself, because every time you get discouraged and going, the only thing that's going to enable you to survive this industry is to remember why you fell in love with it to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people come to Hollywood and they get distracted with the money part of it, whether it's losing money, earning money, whatever it may be. They lose focus. They become so focused on that that they forget why they started. So always remember the 6-year-old version of yourself. And the next thing I would say is, you know, so you got to build a team, but when you build a team, be prepared to lose with that team.
Okay.
You will not always win with that team, just like you will not always win in a relationship. You know, me and my wife may tomorrow may go over to the store and drop $1,000 out of my pocket. She can't, you know, she's not going to be happy with me, but we're not going to leave each other over it.
Yeah.
In music, people do that all the time. So I would say find somebody and ask them straight up how much money it would take for you and I to fall out. If they have a number, then that's not the person you need to be a teammate with.
Oh.
Because a team can't be built from somebody who's aspiring just for income.
Interesting.
That's not healthy.
Wow.
And the third thing, you know, that I would say is, you know, pretty much, you know, you just gotta like just stay loyal to your art and not get distracted with all the other things going on. Don't create business cards that have 18 job titles, and you know, stay focused on what you do. You know, so that's the best thing I could say.
Well, that's really cool. So, I mean, all three of those points you said really resonate a lot with me. I mean, this third one, you know, being loyal to yourself. And the second one, what I perceive that to be, is basically picking a great team and being loyal to your team. And, you know, like you said, not just leaving when, you know, the so-called going gets tough, you know, so to speak. I mean, that's really the way you elucidated that really resonates with me. That makes a lot of sense. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, basically the concept is like, you know, if I'm rich and you're broke, then neither of us are rich, you know, and that's how your team has to be. We both need to be like, able to be successful on the same level, you know, and that's what we call loyalty. And that even means, you know, we get together, we win together, we lose together, and we're okay with that. You know,
that's really cool. How much, and I didn't want to digress too much on this, but how much has your attitude been integral to your success? In other words, like being positive and just being optimistic. Because I know you are. I feel you are. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but
yeah.
Is that the case? And do you feel that's contributed to your success?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that everybody in the music industry, in the industry that they're working in, needs to always be positive and always find the light in a dark room.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like the light is God, and I think that God always, you know, he always has a lesson. He always has a, you know, an unforeseen door that's being opened. You just have to be observant and respectful to the process of seeing and acknowledging that light. No matter how dark a situation is, the light is always there. If somebody screws you over for some money, there's still light in that situation. If there's a lesson in that situation, there's also like the potential, like the person who screwed you over could have sparked the conversation with a person like me who's going to be the person to, you know, help you fix that problem.
Yeah, and take it higher.
If you had that problem, you wouldn't have had a conversation with me, and then I wouldn't be able to be a part of whatever the solution is to help you move forward beyond that. So
exactly.
That's the best thing that people can do in the industry, is just, you know, have a great attitude and don't look at every battle as a, you know, win or lose, because every single battle is a win. You just don't know it at the time. So.
Well, I love it. I love it. And, you know, I found that to be true myself. And even though it's difficult as it may seem to believe that when we're going through it, it really is true, I feel. So that's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually it'll all make sense.
Exactly. Well, Divine, I could speak with you forever. I want to mention to our listeners two quick things here. You know, Divine works, obviously you've worked with the biggest and the best of the best. I know that once in a while when you can, you make time for emerging artists. You like to help and give back and help new artists. So those listening, you know, you might, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, does anyone have a chance of recording with you if they're not a superstar? I mean, you make time.
Yeah, I mean, me and my team always try to like make time. We usually allow ourselves to creatively invest into three, maybe four projects a year that are not major label artists.
That's incredible.
Yeah, we can't do more than that usually just because of the time. The commitment is just a little too extreme.
Right.
But we always make time for that because, you know, in our hearts, we feel like, you know, the thing that really keeps you on the radar is not necessarily working with the Beyoncés and, you know, Kagas and Rihannas of the world.
Yeah.
What keeps you relevant is the new artist.
Exactly. You know? And we love all them, though.
Today's opener is tomorrow's headliner, and you have to understand that.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, the music industry is changing so fast. Well, that's very good for you musicians and singers out there to know. And then last thing, Divine, I want to mention, Divine has got this book out, as I referenced in the beginning, Sheet Music, The Diary of a Songwriter. Now, tell us a minute about this, because this book is huge. And, you know, I've published Rock Magazine before, so I love the print media. But this thing is really, really impressive. It's filled with just tons of amazing women that I guess you have worked with, and that some of these women have sadly, they tell their stories about, you know, experience of undergoing abuse in the music industry. And so this is basically, unfortunately, you know, a very timely topic of, you know, with regard to the Me Too movement and all that stuff. But you're basically given a solution here and a voice for women with this book. And tell us a minute about that, please.
So the book was unfortunately inspired by my own family experiencing, you know, my play sister Sophia. She was became the victim of rape at the age of 19. And whenever that happened to her, all the emotions and the anger and the frustration, I decided to, like, take that pain and turn it into art. And I decided to create a stage for her to stand on, and I decided to, like, show her that she's not alone. And I united 124 women from all over the world, and I
124.
Yes, 124 women.
It's huge.
From all over the world.
Yeah.
And I asked them to all kind of join me in a conversation, kind of sharing stories and then giving advice to each other on how to avoid becoming a victim, how to recognize, like, you know, a potential predator. And then we also talk about how to avoid it altogether once, you know, you kind of recognize it's there. And then what to do whenever you're in a situation if you are, you know. So it's kind of like a book of advice, you know, by myself and then other women. Just kind of give, like,
I'm sorry, Devine, please.
It's okay, on how, you know, give them a perspective on how to survive in our industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's incredible. I had clicked on your website. I didn't, your music kicked in there a minute, but well, that's just amazing. And I truly, truly mean that. I mean, when you handed me this book, I was like, wow, you know, it's a beautiful book. It's a full gloss, cover, beautiful photography. And you know, have high standards for photography, but they're honestly just beautiful pictures in here of these amazing women, and they tell their stories about this. So, can people order this now? Because I know people are going to want to get this. I'm seeing a website on
it. Yeah, they can order it off of the website, thediaryofasongwriter.com.
Okay, so you heard
and
that.
They also can learn more about the girls, and they could learn more about the whole history of the book and everything there as well.
So, listeners, check this out, thediaryofasongwriter.com. That's a very simple, easy thing to remember. We're going to put a link in on that. Divine, I could talk with you for days and weeks and years more. Is there anything else? So I know your time's so valuable. Anything you want to please share with us before we wrap up here and say goodbye?
Well, I would just say if anybody out there listening is interested in hearing more about what we're about to, you know, release and new music, go on Instagram and follow me on Instagram at Divine Evans, which is D-E-V-I-N-E Evans. Or you could also follow my wife, which is I Am Dana, and it's spelled I-A-M-D-A-Y-N-A-H. We're about to release a new single for her that's really going to, like, change the whole shift of music. It's going to be one of the best songs that I've ever been affiliated with, and I'm really proud to be a part of it. So I hope whenever it comes out, everybody loves it.
Well, I absolutely, you know, and I know, I mean, I'm always biased with my friends or family, but I've had the pleasure and honor to meet your wife, and she's just incredibly beautiful, and I've heard her, and she's incredibly talented, got an amazing voice, so you're not exaggerating there. So we'll put the link in for our listeners on that. Well, Divine, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and hope you'll be back with us here again soon. Excellent. Divine, hold the line a second, please. Folks, HollywoodSentinel.com. Take a visit. Check out the official site, DivineEvans.com. Five-time Grammy Award-winning producer, Divine. It's a great pleasure. Thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you.